Okay, because dedicated today's learning is Chusar for Shalema for Yitzchak Yehoshua ben Yehudis. Okay, today's daf is Bab Metzia daf Mem Aleph. We left off on daf Mem Amid Beis. We're actually really pretty far up on daf Mem Amid Beis. We're nowhere near the Mishnah yet. Just to recap what we were in the middle of discussing, the Mishnah on Mem Amid Aleph had been discussing. How much oil and wine do you assume gets absorbed into the barrel, and therefore when you give a pikadon, you can expect a little bit less back, assuming that your oil is mixed in with somebody else's oil, so with the shomer's oil. So he's going to have to determine how much to give you back, so you can expect that he should give you a little bit less back, because there is some absorption into kalim, and things of that nature, and there's shemarim in the oil, so if he's going to give you back pure oil, so he's not going to get, the shemarim take up a certain volume. So Rabbi Yehuda said at the end of the Mishnah that even when you sell pure oil to somebody, there's an assumption that shemarim really belong in oil, meaning shemarim started off in oil, so if I'm selling you totally pure oil that has been relieved of its shemarim, it's been cleaned of its shemarim, so then you're going to accept a lesser volume. So if I sell you 100 lug of oil, and instead of giving you just 100 lug of regular oil, I give you pure oil, I only need to give you 98 and a half lug, because you assume in your mekabel, you're totally okay with that, your mekabel getting a lug and a half less of oil, because that's how much shemarim there are in 100 lug of oil. So that was Rabbi Yehuda's shita. We're starting from two dots and read it quickly. Again, from two dots, about 10-12 lines from the top of the page. So Amar Abaye, kishatim tzolam l'div Rabbi Yehuda mutar la'ariv shemarim l'div chachamim asur la'ariv shemarim. Rabbi Yehuda apparently holds that you're allowed to mix shemarim into the oil, and the chachamim hold it's asur to be ma'ariv shemarim. You're not allowed to go and mix shemarim into oil that you're selling. L'div Rabbi Yehuda mutar la'ariv shmarim. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's mutter to mix shmarim into the oil, to mix the sediment into the oil. V'hainu time in the mekabel, and the reason why the buyer is mekabel a lesser amount of oil when you're giving him pure oil. Damla yibayla ruvilach milo avilach hashina mekabel, because the seller could say, look, if you want, I could just stick more shmarim in there and make it less clean, and then you're gonna have to be mekabel it. So now you might as well be mekabel it in its pure state without that extra volume of shmarim. So I affecting marvelemle yaraftele have a mizdavinli hashemay avle the chudela mizdavinli. No, if you would, why can't the buyer say, look, if you would have mixed the shmarim in there, at least I would be able to sell 100 lugs of oil. Meaning, if I'm going to turn around and sell it, I'd be able to sell a larger volume, but now that you haven't mixed it in, I only have a smaller volume to sell, so I'm not going to be able to sell as much. And says Gemara, no, Bibala Bayis Askinan. Who's talking about selling? The buyer is not a middleman over here, the buyer is the Bala Bayis, who's going to use the oil, the Nichle Betzila, where he certainly would prefer the pure oil over having oil with Shmarim. So, Valaymele Midalar, obviously, Achuli Achaltuli. Why can't the Lokeach say to the Mocher, isn't it evident from the fact that you did not mix the shmarim in that you have been mochel to me that the shmarim, and therefore you should give me 100 lug of pure oil, you shouldn't give me only 98 and a half lug, it's an indication of your mechila. So Rabbi Yehuda tamei d'lasei mechila. Now this is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso, he doesn't hold of mechila, he doesn't assume mechila. Where do we see he doesn't assume mechila? Tanan, we have a Mishnah, machalos hatzemet, lo machalos habakar, if you sell the yolk of the animal, so we don't assume you are selling the cattle with it. Machlos habakar lo machlos hatzemet. If you sell the cattle, we don't assume it comes necessarily with the yoke. This is in Mishnais and Babas to discuss what we assume comes along with what. When you sell a field, when you sell all different things, what can you assume comes with it? What can you not assume comes with it? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hadam Modin. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, look at the price. If the price sounds like it's a price that makes sense for only a yoke, so then it's only a yoke. If the price seems to make sense for a yoke and the cattle, so then it's the yoke and the cattle. Just look at the price. So Ketzad, what's the case? So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if a guy says, I want you to sell me your tzemed for 200 zuz, everyone knows that tzemed doesn't cost 200 zuz. Obviously, he's including something else also. The Chacham say that money is not a raya. So what do you see? You see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no mechila. I mean, the Chacham assume that the money is not a raya. Why is the money not a raya? Because I'm telling you, I want the tzemed for 200 zuz. Obviously, I'm mochel, the excess money beyond what the normal price of a tzemed should be. So that I'm mochel to you, I'm willing to give you 200 zuz for just the tzemed. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, no one's mochel that. Who's going to be mochel that? So clearly the money is going to be a raya. So this is where you see that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold the mechila. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the lokeach, in our case, the guy who's buying oil, is mekabel 98.5 lug as if it's pure oil, right? Because he knows that really, theoretically, there should have been a lug and a half of shmarim, and it's just his oil has been cleansed of the shmarim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, apparently you're allowed to be ma'ariv shmarim, and that's why the mocher is able to get the upper hand over here, because he could say, look, I'm allowed to just stick shmarim in there if I want, so why don't you be happy that you're getting 98.5 lug of pure oil rather than having to sift out the shmarim yourself. The Divrei Chachamim, the Gemara now is going to say, but according to the Chachamim, who argue in Rabbi Yehuda and who say that if you're selling 100 lug of oil, you need to give 100 lug of oil, and you can't say, no, I'm giving him pure oil, so he should take 98.5 and be happy with it. No, the Divrei Chachamim, asur la'ariv shmarim. According to the Chachamim, it's asur to mix shmarim in. V'hainu taimid lo makabel. And that's why the lokeach is not makabel the lesser volume. D'amalei yibayis la'ruve mi'av ashari lach. Because the lokeach would say to the mocher, look, you're in a tough spot. You happen to have pure oil. If you wanted to mix shmarim in, you wouldn't be allowed to. So hashanami lo makabilna. So why should I accept the lesser volume from you? You couldn't mix shmarim in even if you wanted to. So I'm like, Rav Papa says, Abaye, I think your analysis is backwards, he says. Adrava, Ibcha Mistavra. If I were going to analyze the Machlokas Rabbeinu and the Rabbanan, and who holds you're allowed to mix Shmarim in, who holds you're not allowed to mix Shmarim in, I would have said the exact opposite. Why? L'divrei Chachamim, Mutar La'ariv Shmarim. I would have said that according to the Chachamim who hold that the Lokech is not Mekabel 98.5 lug, he's only Mekabel 100 lug, you're allowed to mix Shmarim in. V'ayra time to Mekabel, the reason the Lokech is not Mekabel a lesser volume, Damar Lei, because the Lokech could say to the Mocher, you're allowed to mix Shmarim in. Mi de lo raftali, achuli achaldasli. Obviously, from the fact that you did not mix Shmarim in, that you were not marrying Shmarim into the oil, obviously that's an indication of your Mechila. So you're Mochel, you should give me a full 100 lug. I was never Mochel anything. The Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the Lokech is Mekabel, the lesser volume of oil, asur la'ariv shmarim, so you're not allowed to mix shmarim in. V'hainu taimi de mekabel, and the reason why the lokeach is mekabel is because d'amar lei yibayi la'aruvi lo shari li la'aruvi lach kabuli lo mekabalt mi lo mekabalt zvon v'zavin tagri ikri. Meaning he says, look, if according to Rabbi Yehuda you're not allowed to mix shmarim in, and that's why he has to be mekabel the lesser volume, because if I'm not allowed to mix shmarim in, so I have this oil, I'm going to buy for X amount, I'm going to sell it for the same amount, what kind of merchant am I if I do that? You don't call such a guy a merchant if there's no way, there's no markup, there's no way I'm ever making any money over here, because I'm buying a lesser amount of pure oil, I'm selling a lesser amount of pure oil, so I'm not making any markup. So it has to be, according to Yehuda, that you're not allowed to mix shmarim in, and the lokeach is mekabel the lesser amount, and that's the markup that the mocher is making. Period. Okay, Tana, echad lokeach. Up until now, we've been talking about shmarim. Now we're going to be talking about a different byproduct of the oil. Tana ech, or of the olive. Tana echad lokeach vechad mafkid lepakatim. That the lokeach and the mafkid, both a lokeach and a mafkid of the same din for pekatim. What are pekatim? So Rashi says, psolas hagarinim hatsafan al pnei hashemen. It's the junk from the seeds that tend to float on the top of the oil and needs to be skimmed off. Right, the Ritva writes that they're garua mishmarim, that they're much worse than shmarim, they're even worse. So the lokech and the mafkid have the same din for pekatim. My lepekatim, what do you mean? Ilei mekiyechi the lokech lo mekabel pekatim, mafkid nami lo mekabel pekatim. If you want to say that just like a lokech is not mekabel pekatim, so the mafkid is also not mekabel pekatim, Velemelei pekat chamei yavduhu. Let him say to him, what do you want me to do with the pekatim? Eliki hechi demafkin mekabel pekatim lokeach nami mekabel pekatim. So it must go in the other direction. It can't be that a mafkin is not mekabel pekatim. What's he supposed to do with the pekatim? So it must be that just like a mafkin is mekabel pekatim, lokeach nami is mekabel pekatim. So umi mekabel lokeach pekatim, but really a lokeach is mekabel pekatim. If I buy shemen, I'm expecting there to be seed sediment floating at the top of it. I'm mekabel that. V'atani Rabbi Domer lomu shemen achor el lemochr b'lvad shel lokeach mekabel of lugu mechta shmarim. Below pekatim, no, the lokech is mekabel a lugu mechza, but not more than that. He's mekabel what the shmarim are, but not the pekatim. So says Gemara, it depends when you buy the oil. Lo kasha, hadi yavle zuzi b'tishrei because shakel b'nei b'nisan kimida d'tishrei. One case is where I pay in Tishrei and I take in Nisan like the Midah, like the way it is in Tishrei. And Rashi says the prices in Tishrei are cheaper, and because the Stam oil in Tishrei is much worse, is not as clear, and therefore I am Mekabel Pekatim. If that's the situation, if we're assuming Tishrei prices, and Hadi Yavle Zuzi B'Nisan V'Kal Shakel B'Nei B'Nisan Kimida D'Nisan. And in the other cases where the whole deal goes down in Nisan. So if the whole deal goes down in Nisan, we assume a higher level oil, we assume a pure oil, and then in such a case, I'm certainly not Mekabel Pekatim. Okay, now we're caught up. So Mishnah, new Mishnah. Let's say a person is mafkid of chavis by his friend, he's mafkid a barrel by his friend, and the bailim never sets a location where he wants the chavis to dafka be kept. V'tiltalav v'nishtabra. Now, if he is miyache the place where he wants it to be kept, so it's ki'ilu he's borrowing the location as well. He's saying this item has to be kept in this location. I'm taking this location from you. It's like a borrowing or renting the location from him. So anyway, if he was not miyachid makom v'tiltal v'nishtabra, and then I, the shomer, decide to move the barrel, and as I'm moving the barrel, and the barrel breaks when I move it, so imi tochiado nishbara, if it broke while I was moving it, so then it depends why was I moving it. Litzarcha chayiv, if I moved it for my own purposes, I'm going to be chayiv. Litzarcha pater, but if I moved it for the barrel's sake, because the barrel, there was a leak right above it or something, the sun was baking down and it was going to spoil, I did it litzarcha, I did it to protect the barrel, then I'm going to be pater, even though I dropped it, even though it broke from my hands. But if it broke after I put it down, then I'm going to be pater, whether it's Litzarcho or Litzarcho, no matter why, I moved the barrel. Yichdula habaylum makom, or if the baylum was miyachid makom for the barrel, the tiltal of v'nishbra, and I move it and it breaks after I move it. Well, I move it and it breaks. Bein mitoch yado, bein mishenicha. Whether it broke while I was moving it, whether it broke after I already put it down. Litzarcho chayiv, if I moved it for my own purposes, and the Bailum was miyachid makom, so I should not have been moving it, and I moved it for my own purposes, I'm going to be chayiv no matter how it broke. Litzarcho pater, but if I moved it for the purposes of the barrel, to protect the barrel, then I'm going to be pater. So says Gemara, let's analyze this Mishnah piece by piece. We definitely, there's a very clear resha and seifa of the Mishnah, right? The resha is lo yichidla Bailum makom, the seifa is yichidla Bailum makom. The resha is clearly talking about a case where the Bailum did not indicate where in your property he wanted you to keep the barrel, and the sefer is where he certainly did indicate that he wants you to keep it dafka in a certain place. It's interesting, we are mechalik between sarcho and sarcha. The Torah quotes from the Ramah, Reish Mem Hei Ramah, that the Mishnah doesn't talk about another tzarech. There's a third possibility. I might move it for my needs, I might move it for the barrel's needs. What about the tzarech makama? Neither for my needs nor for the barrel's needs, but Litzarcho Makoma, I need the place. So I would have said, well, that's exactly Litzarcho. Litzarcho means that why do I need it? I'm not going to use it, but I need the makom. But apparently you could distinguish. No, Litzarcho is I'm going to use the barrel as a step stool or whatever. I have some need for the barrel to be somewhere else. I need it as a paperweight somewhere else, but not that I need the place where it's currently sitting. So the Torah quotes from the Ramah that Litzarcho Makomo, you don't become a gazlin, you're still a shomer on it when you move it, and you're pater me ones, unless the ones happened because of the shinui makom, because you were mishan in the makom, then you're going to be chayv on the ones. That's assuming that you were that the balaam was miyachid in makom. If the balaam was not miyachid in makom, so even if the ones came because of the shinui makom, you're still going to be pater. So then you were allowed to move it, so even if the onus were to come as a result of your being mishan of the makom, you're still going to be pater. Okay, that's the Torah from the Ramah. Says the Gemara, let's analyze piece by piece of this Mishnah. Reisha and then Seifa. So first says the Gemara, Hamani Rabbi Shmalhi. Our Mishnah seems to be very clearly going according to the sheet of Rabbi Shmal, Damar Lobin and Das Bailim. Right, we had a discussion earlier. When a person steals something and he wants to return it, at what point is it considered that he has returned it? Does he put it in the person? What if he puts it in the person's house, in the person's field? So Rabbi Shmuel says, what you don't need to do is you don't need to inform the person that you have returned it. Just returning it, putting it back in his property, in a makom mishtameres, in a place that's protected, that's roughly protected, that's good enough. You don't need to tell him that you have returned it. Titania hagonik tlemina eder, v'salam in a kiss. If you steal a sheep from the flock, you steal money from the wallet. L'makom shaganav yachsu devar bishmal. Rabbi Shmuel says, all you need to do is go to the place where you stole it from, put it back, and that's hashava. You've done the chiyuv hashava. Rabbi Akiva omer tzarech das bailim. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you need das bailim. How do we know our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel? Because in the seif of the Mishnah, in the resha rather of the Mishnah, it says if it broke after you put it down, even though you took it for your own purposes, for your own needs, which means you took it, you were a ganav, you were stealing it when you took it, because you were taking it for your own needs, but you put it back down. Once you put it back down, that's your hashava, right? As long as in the ratio where the guy was not miyachid in makom, so anywhere you put it down is hashava. Anywhere you put it down is good enough, it's where he wants it. So that's considered hashava, so we must be assuming like Rabbi Shmuel. And that's why you're going to be pater if it breaks after you put it down, because you already did your hashava. So we're definitely assuming like Rabbi Shmuel in the ratio of our Mishnah. Frak the Gemara, I Rabbi Shmuel, my area lo yichdu, afilu yichdunani. If the case, if we're assuming like Rabbi Shmuel, that putting it back in its location is considered hashava, then even if the balaam was miyachid in makom, as long as I put it down in that makom, that should also be considered hashava. Why does the Mishnah come up with a case where the guy was not miyachid in makom and I put it down anywhere? Come up with a case where the balaam was miyachid in makom, I put it back in the same makom, and that would also be a fulfillment of the hashava. It shouldn't make a difference whether he's miyachid in makom or not. Tosa says, "I Rabbi Shmuel, if you yichdu nami, even if you are miyachid makom, it should still be good enough." Vim tamer minalam. How do you know that it's good enough if he is miyachid makom? Meaning, it, who says that it's good enough? So it says Tosa, "Yeshomer mi didnaka tlev isela d'stam tlev lo yichid makom ela holich mimir lemira u'stam sle yichdu lo makom b'kis v'gam kis yichdu lo makom b'teva." Meaning it seems that the whole machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is going on both the case where you are miyachid makom and the case where you're not miyachid makom. That's why the case that they argued about, the brisa where they argue, specifically gives two examples of what the stolen item is. Talks about a tlem in a eder and a selam in a kiss. Why those two examples? And if you steal a stereo and a watch, and you can come up with thousands of examples. Either give one or give none. Why would you give two examples? So Tosfos says, no, it's meduyak. He gives one example of something that's generally not, that people are generally not miyachid makom for. The tle, the animal moves around. You can't be miyachid makom that I want this sheep to stand in this spot for the next week while you're watching it. That's ridiculous. And he gives an example of something that normally you are miyachid makom for. Money within the kiss within the teva. Right? People generally are miyachid makom for it. So that's to emphasize the point that the machlokes of Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva applies whether you are or are not miyachid makom. So says the Gemara, if Rabbi Shmuel is the author of a Mishnah, why does the Mishnah only talk about a case of lo yichid makom? We know Rabbi Shmuel would hold the same thing, even if you are miyachid makom. So says the Gemara, lo mi bayikamar. Yeah, of course, Rabbi Shmuel would hold the same thing if you are miyachid makom. And the Mishnah is written in the style of lo mi bayi, meaning the Mishnah tries to write the greatest chiddush. So lo mi bayichdu demekamahu. You don't even need to tell me in the case where you are miyachid makom, and I put it back in that spot. So obviously, Rabbi Shmuel would hold that's hashava. You told me keep it in this spot. I took it for a minute. I put it back in that spot. So of course that's hashava. Ela afilu lo yichdu. The chiddush of our Mishnah is even if it doesn't have a spot. There is no designated spot where it has to be. The lav makomahu, there is it. Where I put it back is not its spot. Lo beinan das bailim. Still, you don't need das bailim. As long as I put it back anywhere, it's good enough. As long as I put, meaning, why is it good enough? Why tak is it good enough? Don't you have to put it back in the spot? So, and this doesn't have a spot. No, the answer apparently is if he was not miachil makom, anywhere in my possession is its spot. I mean, he wants me to watch it. Anyway, he doesn't care where I watch it in my possession, as long as it's in my possession. So male, its makom is expanded. It's not that it doesn't have a makom. It has a very expanded makom. Anywhere that I put it is the makom. So wherever I put it is going to be the hasheva to the Bible.
What's the stealing?
The stealing is when I start, we're going to get to it, when I pick it up to use it for myself, or something like that. But where I keep it, good point. But where I keep it is going to be is totally up to me. So says the Gemara, okay, fine. So you want to say that the Reisha is Rabbi Shmuel, but I'm a Seifa. But then look at the Seifa, the Mishnah. Yichtula by the Makom, the Seifa says beferish. If you're miyachin the Makom, the tiltula v'nishbra. Bein mitoch yado bein mishenicha. Whether it breaks when I'm moving it, whether it breaks after I put it down. Litzorcha chayiv, litzorcha pater. If I was moving it, litzorcha, I was moving it for my own purposes, I'm going to be chayiv. If I was moving it for someone for its purposes, I'm going to be pater. But over here, we're going to focus on the litzorcha chayiv. How can you say that if you miyachid a makom? We just said that Rabbi Shmuel holds, wherever you return it, that's good, it's fine. And if you miyachid a makom, as long as you return it back to that makom, that's hashava, that's fine. But how come the Sefer says it's not fine? The Sefer says you're going to be chayiv, even after you put it back down. So that says Gemara, so on the Rabbi Kiva, Dam Rabbi Nadas Bailam. That, the Sefer in Echanami, is arguing on the Reisha. The Sefer is assuming like Rabbi Akiva, that if I picked it up, even when I put it back down in the right place, I'm still going to be chayiv, because you need Das Bailam. So I Rabbi Akiva, so says Gemara, whoa, if the Sefer is going like Rabbi Akiva, Mayir Yichtu, why does the Sefer specifically choose a case of where I'm miyachin a makom, afil lo yichtu nami? Even if you're not miyachin a makom, and again, as Tosas explained, the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel clearly applies both when you are miyachin and when you're not miyachin a makom. So if it's going like Rabbi Akiva, why choose a case of miyachin a makom, even if you're not miyachin a makom, the halacha should be that you're chayiv. So it says, yeah, again, lo mi bayu kamer. The Mishnah tries to write the biggest chiddush. According to Rabbi Akiva, lo mi bayu lo yichtu delav makomahu, you don't even need to tell me in a case where you're not miyachid makom, where it's not its place, and therefore it's for sure not a hashava when I put it back somewhere else on my property. Ela afilu yichtu nami de makomahu, even if you were miyachid makom, and I put it back in that makom. So I put it back exactly in the place where it's supposed to be. Still being in das balim. Rabbi Akiva is still going to say, not good enough. You stole it, you can't just put it back. When you steal it, you have to let the owner know that you're putting it back. So says the Gemara, okay, good. So now we've analyzed the Mishnah, but Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer Rabbi Akiva, the way we've analyzed the Mishnah now, the Reisha is going like Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer is going like Rabbi Akiva. I don't know why we don't just ask at the outset, it's a stira in the, between the Reisha and the Sefer. I mean, forget Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. I mean, even if it wasn't Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, Sefer Rabbi Akiva, the word particular tonight, because of that, it's just a stira between the Reisha and the Sefer, but in terms of Yichud Makom. But anyway, says Gemara, Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer Rabbi Akiva, and says Gemara, in, yeah. And Rabbi Yochanan once commented, anyone who could explain this Mishnah about Chavis, this Mishnah about the barrel, according to one Tana, and make this whole Mishnah fit in one Shita, I'll bring his Kalim to him, to the Beis HaMerchatz for him. Meaning I'll act like an Eved toward him. I'll do menial tasks for him. I'll be so grateful for anyone who could explain this according to one Tana. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan, it's impossible to explain according to one Tana. What kind of expression is that? I'll bring your kalim to the bathhouse for you if you could do this, right? That's the I'll eat my hat of Talmudic times. So the Maritz Chayes explains near Be'enai to Kaimlan to Evet Shaholich Kalev Shal Adam LeBeis Hamerchatz Kona Alide Zebe Chazaka. Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chaf Beis in the Avadim Sugyas says that one way of being Kona and Evet Bechazaka is by having the Evet bring your kalim to the Beis Hamerchatz Zevi Avoda Shal Evet, because that is a typical Avoda that an Evet does. The Kaimala, and then we know we paskin Kamalacha Shevet also the Rabbo, Talmud also the Rabbo. Any malacha that an Eved has to do for his master, a Talmud has to do for his master as well. So what's Rabbi Yochanan saying? That anyone who could be Mitarit, this Mishnah, according to one Tana, I will act like a Talmud to him, meaning he will be my Rebbe. I'll hold him to be such a genius that he should be my Rebbe. So I'm going to act as a Talmud is Mechuyev to act toward a Rebbe. Why is that kol malacha she'evad osel rabbo, talmud osel rabbo? Rabbi Ganek has in the Hakatama to the Sefer, to the Sefer on Sanhedrin, I think, to Birchas Yitzchak, I think it's called, where he asks the question, why is everything that an Eved has to do for his Rebbe, does the Talmud have to do for his Rebbe? After all, by the Eved there's a kinyan. The master is kona the Eved. There's no maisa kinyan on the Talmud. So by virtue of what is the Rebbe kona a Talmud? So he says the Rebbe says the name of the Rav, the name of Salvechik, the Rebbe's kona the Talmud b'shinu maisa, because the Rebbe changes who the Talmud is. He changes his whole personality, so he changes his whole outlook. So the Rebbe's kona the Talmud through shinu maisa, and therefore the Talmud has, it's al derech drush obviously, and therefore the Talmud has to do for the Rebbe everything the Eved has to do for Rebbe. Rav Asher Weiss in his Sefer Minchas Asher and Parshas Emor, I just happened to have looked at this piece this week, coincidentally, because I got an email from someone who's a Kohen this week saying, you know, it's really a shame that people don't know how to be Mechabed Kohanim. And you should really give a shir about the cover that you have to give to a Kohen, because people don't get it about how much cover you have to give to a Kohen.
It was not
Elisha. It happens to be true. People don't know how to be Mechabed Kohanim because there are halachos in Shulchan Aruch about how to be Mechabed Kohanim. Don't know if Kohanim should be screaming from the rooftops that it's a great shame that people don't know how to be Mechabed Kohanim. But anyway, so I started looking into it. I figured maybe I will talk and give a shir on it. I don't think I'm going to, but I thought maybe I'll give a shir on it. So Rav Asher Weiss has a piece in Parsha Zemar, and he explains that there's a chi of kavod in three different areas, to three different groups of people, and the chi of kavod is very different to all three groups. And so he states it very clearly. So we use the word kavod, we just assume kavod means kavod. He says, no, kavod doesn't always mean the same thing. Kibud Ava'eim means to be mishamesh and take care of them, to take care of their needs. It's ma'achilo, mashkeo, marchitzo. That's what the Gemara talks about in Kiddushin. Then there's kavod rabo v'tamul chacham. That's hachna of his batlus. That's this line, kol malach she'evad osel rabo, talmud osel rabo. You have to be mevatel yourself to a rebbe. That's the kind of kavod. Kavod of kohanim is the third kind of kavod. It's kavod aromimus. It's raising them up on a pedestal, right? That's the v'toach rishon, to give them the first aliyah, to give them to let them take the first lital money yafa rishon, to take the first portion of food. It's a third type of kavod. It's kavod aromimus. So I just thought that was very clearly put in terms of what the types of kavod are. Anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, Tir Gemara of Yaakov Baraba Kamed to Rav. So in explaining our Mishnah, Rabbi Yaakov Barabba explained in front of Rav, and this is going back to Josh's point, meaning where's the stealing, where's the problem if you're allowed to keep it anywhere in the house, right? When, let's say in the case where you're not Miyachid, what did you do wrong when you picked it up? So he says, no, the case is, and obviously what he's trying to do is he's trying to explain how our whole Mishnah could be going like one Tana. Now, the Gemara is a little bit out of order over here, and Rashi keeps pointing it out. What the Gemara means to say at the very outset is that anyone who's going to try to explain that it's going according to Montana is going to explain that it's going like Rabbi Shmuel, that the whole Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel. And when the Seifa of the Mishnah talks about where you're miyachid a makom and you're going to be chayiv if it breaks, even after you put it down, it's because you didn't put it down in that makom. You put it down in a different makom. When Miyachid Makom, of course, you put it down in that Makom, Rabbi Shmuel will say it's fine. But the Sefer is talking about, and that's the truth is, when I read the Mishnah the first time, that's what it sounds like. You put it down in a different Makom. So anyway, so Rabbi Yaakov Barabba, but it has to be that you misappropriated first. So Rabbi Yaakov Barabba says in the name of Rebbe that the case is where you took it to steal it. Tirgur Rabbi Nosson Barabba Kameh de Rabbi, Shenot Amanas L'Shloch Bayad. He says that no, you took it almanas to use it in a way that's going to be detrimental to the item. So b'maikamifli, what are they arguing about? So b'shlichus yad shichichsarum. They're arguing about whether the chiyuv for shlichus yad, when that which the Torah is mechayev you, if something happens when you use it and you shouldn't have, does it have to be that the item that you wanted to use it in a way that's going to cause a chisaron? Mandi amar l'goz l'kasav shlichus yad shichichsarum. The one that says the goz holds that to be shaleach yad, you're only going to be chayiv if it was a chisaron, if something happened to it. So meaning it's not considered in your rishus unless it was chasra. So therefore, it has to be that you were gozel it. Otherwise, it's not an act of gzela to just move it. Umani amar shloach b'yad, because And the one that says that it's, that you originally picked up the shloach by yad will say, yeah, that's good enough to call you a ganav right there, because shlichus yad is not shlichus yad, and you were shloach by yad, and that's all you need to do in order to be problematic. So mask of flour of shesh is midi not lakatani. But wait a second, it doesn't say that you take it, it says that you moved it. Meaning, had it said natla, so then I could understand. We're talking about your shaleach yad, we're talking about you're stealing it. Natla, you're trying to take it for yourself. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said tiltala, it said you moved it. Sounds like stam, you wanted to use it. Tashmish bialma. Now the case is that you moved it in order to reach to a high place, to reach the birds that you have in a high nest somewhere. A step stool. You were using it for a step stool. The Kasavar Shalosh Lomidas Gazan have even cooler Rabbi Shmali. And we assume the Shalosh Lomidas is a Gazan. And now going back on everything we just said in the last 10 lines, the cooler Rabbi Shmali. And the entire mission is Rabbi Shmali. The Sefer Sheinicha B'makam Sheinu Mekama. And the Sefer is talking about where you put it in a place that wasn't its rightful place. Rabbi Yochanan Yinicha B'makam Mashma. Aye, why did Rabbi Yochanan then say, I'll eat my hat or I'll, take someone's kelim to the Beis HaMerchatz if they could ever explain this mission going according to one Tana? Doesn't seem that hard. It wasn't that rough an answer. It's going like Rabbi Shmuel, and you were just talking about where you put it in a different place. You didn't put it back in its right place in the Seifa. So no, Rabbi Yochanan understands that whenever you use the word hinicha, that implies that it's bimakoma, that you did put it in the right place. He holds that that's not a possible pshat in the Seifa of our Mishnah. If it says hinicha, it means that you put it back in the right place, not that you put it back in the wrong place. Itmar. Rav Levi, once we're on the topic of Shlichus Yad, Rav Levi, Chadam Shlichus Yad, Shlichus Yad, Chadam Shlichus Yad, Ein Shlichus Yad. So one says Shlichus Yad does require Chisaron, the other one says no, it doesn't need Chisaron to be Chayiv. So this time, the Rav Udam Shlichus Yad, Ein Shlichus Yad. It's Mestaver that Rav is the one who says that it doesn't need Chisaron in order to be Chayiv. When you're Shaleach Yad Bibikadon, which is also to do, when you're going to be Chayiv if something happens to it, because you're Kona with Kinan and Gineva, when you're Shaleach Yad Bibikadon, is it only called Shaleach Yad if you were mechaserit or if you were not mechaserit, if you caused it to be lacking in some way or if you were not causing it to be lacking? So it's mistaver that Rav is the one that says that it does not require chisaron. You're already going to be chayiv anyway, even if you didn't cause anything to be missing from it. Titania, because we have a brayse that says as follows: Roa shahaya roa edro v'iniach edro. A roa, a shepherd, was leading his flock and he left it alone. He abandoned the flock. And he comes to a city, and a wolf comes and rips apart some of the members of his flock, some of the sheep in his flock. Or a lion comes and is zores and rips apart the sheep in his flock. So why do we use different words, right? But when it says ze'ev, they're both talking about ripping apart the animals. By ze'ev it says taraf, by ari it says daras. So Rashi says that they mean slightly different things. It says Ze'ev Toref Nosei Ateref Lechuro. It means he takes the ripped body, the carcass, to his home, wherever it is, to his hole, and that's where he's going to eat it. Ari Eino Torfa El Adorso B'mekom Aviyochla. The lion isn't bringing the carcass anywhere. He's attacking right there and eating on the spot. So that's why we use a different lashon. Stam. But either way, point is, Yavdiz Roa, he abandoned his flock. So in either case, he's going to be putter. Because that's an onus. It's an onus to have a lion or a wolf attack. There's nothing he wasn't going to stand up to the lion or to the wolf anyway. He niech makal v'tarmilo aleha chayiv. But if he had left his kelim on the animals, so then he's going to be chayiv. We ask, what? It's just because he left his kelim on the animals, he's chayiv. But if it's considered shlichus yad, but he goes and he takes it back afterwards. So we hold our shava doesn't require das bailim. We assume like Rabbi Yishmael that a shava doesn't require das bailim. So isn't it a valid form of hashava anyway? Once he takes it back. So it says, no, Amrav Nachman, Amrav Baravua, Amrav Ba'odan Aleha. He never took it back. It's still, the items are still there. V'chiyodan Lamayhavi, Halo Mashcha. But still, even though his kelim are on the animals, as long as he wasn't Moshech the animal, then he didn't steal the animal. He was never Shaleach Yad on the animals. Meaning the halacha is once you're Shaleach Yad, you're going to be chayv and onsim. So the fact that it was ze'ev v'taraf, ari v'daras, it's not going to patter you if you were shalech yad on the animal. So if you niach kelim ala, and then the ze'ev came, so right, that's what the Brisa was saying, that when you put your kelim on it, you're going to be chayv, because you were shalech yad. In fact, where's the shalichas yad? You didn't do any kinyin, you weren't moshech it. So Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amrav, she'kisha b'makal v'ratzal l'fanim. You hit it with a stick and made it move, and that therefore is shalichas yad. Ay, but v'lo chasra, but it didn't cause any depreciation in the animal. So isn't it only shlichus yad if you cause a depreciation? Elav shraminah, k'sav shlichus yad ain't shlichus aron. So you see from here, shlichus yad doesn't require chisaron, that it's called shlichus yad even without chisaron. So just by making the animal do anything for you, you were shaleach yad. From henceforth, you are going to be chayiv in any onsin that occurred to that animal. So long as you haven't done a hashava, you haven't put the animal back to where it belongs, in this case meaning stopped using it for your own purposes, stopped using it to carry your kelim for you. Right? So that's we see that Rav is the one that holds that shlichus yad doesn't require chisaron. Tos points out by the ze'ev v'taraf, that the ze'ev comes and rips it apart, that we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, who says ze'ev echad ones, that even a single wolf is considered an ones, because it is arguable, meaning one lion, so that you could definitely consider an ones. There's no human being that's going to stand up to a lion. But a wolf maybe is less scary than a lion, still pretty scary, but less scary than a lion. So we're assuming like the sheet that holds, one wolf is also called an ones. I was with my children in Manhattan on Sunday, and one of them said, I don't like Manhattan. I said, why not? They said, there's so many dogs and wolves around. So it's a fine line between the animals sometimes. Some of these dogs are scary like wolves. So you have to, I wouldn't stand up to a lot of those dogs, even if it was just one of them. So I guess the roa is, whether a roa will stand up to a wolf is somewhat of machlokas. Anyway, so says the Gemara. Ema, no, who says that there was no chisaron? Ema shechisha b'makal. Maybe you did weaken it with a stick. You beat it up with a stick and it caused it to run. You wanted it to run and that caused it to get weakened. So it was chisaron. Dekanami, and it's meduik this way. Dekatani shechisha b'makal. It dafka says shechisha b'makal. So that implies that you hit it good with a stick and may have caused a chisaron. So shmamina. So you do see that that's talking about it where it was a chisaron. So there now we have a raya that Rav holds shlichus yad tzricha chisaron. So midrav safar shlichus yad tzricha chisaron, Levi safar shlichus yad ena tzricha chisaron. Right? We know that they argue about it, so it must be Levi's the one that holds that ena tzricha chisaron. My time at the Levi. What's the svara for Levi? Where does Levi get the idea that shlichus yad is ena tzricha chisaron? Am Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Urai mishuna shlichus yad amur b'shamer sachar mishlichus yad amur b'shamer chinam, because Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Urai that the chiddush of shlichus yad being taught by both shamer chinam and shamer sachar is unnecessary. And because it's taught by both, meaning I would have been able to learn one from the other, because it's taught by both, it must be teaching me an extra chiddush, and the extra chiddush it's teaching me is that it's ein chisaron, that even if there's no chisaron, it's still a violation, it's still in the category of shlichus yad. Va'ani omer ein mishuna, and I don't think that that's correct. So the Gemara is going to explain what one shita held, what the other guy held. Umay Mishuna, why would you think that it must be some sort of chiddush from the fact that it's in two places? So Umay Mishuna, lo tomar shlichus yad b'shomer sachar v'teisi mishomer chinam. Don't mention shlichus yad by shomer sachar and will derive it from shomer chinam. Had it just said shlichus yad by shomer chinam, so that would have been good enough. And I would know that if there's a din of shlichus yad by shomer chinam, so for sure there's a din of shlichus yad by shomer sachar, because shomer chinam normally has a lower level of responsibility. So if you can be chayv and onsim when you're shaleach yad by shomer chinam, of course you can be chayv and onsim when you're shaleach yad by shomer sachar. So ma shomer chinam shapat b'gnev v'aveda shilach b'yad chayv, if a shomer chinam who's pat b'gnev v'aveda has a lower level of responsibility, still if he's shaleach yad, he's going to be chayv. Shomer sachar shachayv b'gnev v'aveda lo kol shkein. So Shomer Sachar was a higher level of responsibility, namely is chayiv in gneva v'aveda. Of course, he should be chayiv if he sholech b'yad. So why then did the Torah go out of its way to mention shlichus yad by Shomer Sachar as well? It's there to teach you that shlichus yad, an extra chiddush, that shlichus yad is ainat shlichus chisaron, that it doesn't require chisaron. Frank tells us, wait a second. V'im tamar hatenach shomer sachar da yasakra lahachi. Elu b'shomer chinam inala ni imi shomer sachar ma shomer sachar shekin chayv b'gnei v'aveda. Frank tells us, wait a second. Where's there an extra pasuk? The extra pasuk is only by Shomer Sachar. So if you want to learn that Shlichus Yad is Einat Shlichus Chisaron, you can only learn it by Shomer Sachar. How do you know that Shlichus Yad by a Shomer Chinam is also Einat Shlichus Chisaron? Maybe there's a split. Maybe Shlichus Yad by a Shomer Chinam is only going to be called Shlichus Yad if there's a Chisaron. Shlichus Yad by Shomer Sachar is going to be called Shlichus Yad even when there's no Chisaron. Maybe that's how we should learn it. Who says that it goes across the board? So says Tosfos Yeshlomar Kivin to Shlichus Yad Chayv B'Travayu Ein Ze Elagilu Milsa L'Mel of Din Shal Zeh B'Zeh. Now, if the Torah tells us that there's a din of Shlichus Yad in these two places by Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, so one is a Gilu Milsa and the other. The Torah is trying to tell us that they are parallel halachos and that they should run by the same rules. So whatever it's Megala by Shomer Sachar, where we know to automatically apply to Shomer Chinam. So Vani Omer, but then Rabbi Yochanan said, no, I said, Eina Mishuna, that it's not an extra pasuk, Rabbi Lazar, Damar Davida Achasi, like Rabbi Lazar says that it's one and the same. My Davida Achas, what do you mean it's one and the same? Mishum Di'ikah L'Mifrach, because you could ask, you could point out, you wanted to make a Kal V'Chomer, that if there's a Din of Shlichus Yad by Shomer Chinam, Kal V'Chomer by Shomer Sachar, but no, Shomer Sachar has certain kulas that a Shomer Chinam doesn't have, namely, Mal Shomer Chinam Shkei Mishan Toshul Mekefah B'Toni Tain Hizganav. If a Shomer Chinam is Toni Tain Hizganav and he claims that the Adam was stolen, it turns out he was lying, the Shomer Chinam is going to have to pay Kefel. But the Shomer Sachar would not have to pay Kefil if he's Toyin Tainas Ganav, and it turns out he was lying. Why? Because as soon as he's Toyin Tainas Ganav, he's Chayv and Gnev Vaved anyway. So he pays as soon as he's Toyin Tainas Ganav. So he's not going to have to pay Kefil later on, because as soon as he does it then, he's going to be Chayv. Umandlo parach savra karna b'lo shvua adifa mikfeil b'shvua. And the one who doesn't ask that point says, yeah, but come on. Paying Karen without a Shavua is a bigger Chumrah than only paying Kefal with a Shavua later on by Toyin Tainas Ganav. The fact that a Shomer Chinam pays Kefal but Toyin Tainas Ganav is not a stringency of Shomer Chinam. It's actually a result of a leniency of Shomer Chinam that he doesn't have to pay initially because he's Patin Gnei Vaveda. Rav Amar Lo Tamar Shlichus Yad Lo B'Shomer Chinam Lo B'Shomer Sachar V'Teis Mishol. Truth is, we don't have to say Shlichus Yad by either Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar. We can learn from Shoel. Umashal Dildas Ba'alim Kavit Shlich Ba'yad Chayev Shomer Chinam Shomer Sachar Lo Kalish Kein. So Lama Ne'amar, right? Why would it say Shlichus Yad by Shomer Chinam Shomer Sachar if we could have just derived it from Shoel? So by one of them, it's to teach you that the din of Shlichus Yad is that it doesn't need chisaron for you to be considered shaleich yad. V'idach shlo tomer dayo l'ba min adin lios kenidon. And the other is to teach you don't say dayo, where you would say mashal b'bailim pater, just like by Shoel, if you borrow something with the bailim and then an onus happens, you're pater af shomer chinam, right? Shoel b'bailim is pater af shomer chinam shomer sachar b'bailim pater. You might think, yeah, the same should therefore be true by Shlichus Yad b'bailim where it should be pater, by Shomer Chinam Shomer Sachar should also be pater. And if Yod Shlichus Yad does need Chisaron, then why do you have these two extra Shlichus Yads? Meaning, after all, we could have derived it from Shoel. So it says, one to tell me not to assume that there's any Ptur of Bailam Imo, the Idach, and the other Lichadatanya for the following Drasha. We have a Brisa, V'nikrav Balabayas Elohim, L'Shavua. Atom L'Shavua, Erena L'Din. So when it says that if you don't find the item, it was stolen, and it turns out that he stole it himself, so he goes to the Dayanim. So does it mean the Shavua that he goes to take a Shavua, or no, from that it means he goes Ladin, that he pays Kefel. Nemra Shlichus Yad L'Matav, Nemra Shlichus Yad L'Mala, Mala Alan B'Shavua, Afkan L'Shavua. So it says Shlichus Yad by Shomer Sachar, Shavua Hashem Tia Bein Shneim by Shomer Sachar, and it says it by B'Nikra Val Bayis El Elohim, if he's Lo Shalach Yado, so it teaches us that he doesn't pay Kefel Ali Deitainas Ganav unless there's a Shavua. So we see that he's Pater from Gnei Vaveda also with a Shavua. So it teaches me that he goes with a Shavua as opposed to Ledin. All right, we'll pick up from the Mishnah tomorrow.